Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about census tract mailer pricing. It's how I actually, the cuckoo system that I've devised to accurately price SFR mailers.
Is that your legal term? It's the cuckoo way Jack gets this done. But, and you know what I was going to say, by the way? I think it's amazing how you do this. I was trying to think about this. I swear it's like a third science, I think it's a third art, and I think it's a third experience. What do you think? How'd I do?
I mean, thank you for explaining it. I think that's a compliment, and thank you. But I'll tell you, it all was derived out of necessity. Like, we just weren't getting the results that we wanted to get for regular pricing. So the way that we priced mail, the way that we priced purchasing land, it's just not appropriate here.
It's true.
You know, it's a totally different animal. So I'll try to explain it the best I can through this venue.
Awesome. And I'll try the best to entertain you so you don't fall asleep.
I'm just going to say the same thing. I'll try as hard as I can to make sure Jill stays awake.
Yep. There you go.
Before we get into this, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Joe M. wrote, "Hi, all. I've been exporting comps in Redfin and Realtor.com to determine average days on market for vacant lots in a neighborhood. But I have a feeling there is a much faster way. Have you noticed a correlation between how long your vacant lots take to sell in comparison to SFR's average days on market in a specific area? Also, what are some of your favorite sites to reference when determining your next target market? Any insight would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Joe M."
Joe, this is a perfect question for our topic today. It's perfect. I use exactly those two websites, Redfin and Realtor. And I use it in conjunction with DataTree. We're a licensed provider of DataTree information, which is
First American Titles,
yeah, data company. And it's by leaps and bounds, I think, some of the best data available. So when you use a version of days on market here, in this case, for Redfin, from Redfin or Realtor, I prefer Redfin for a bunch of reasons. You know, and you meld it with the data that gets collected by the assessor and then processed by a world-class company like First American, you literally, the result is this. You to remove probably 98% of the risk that that you would incur from a real estate investment.
Exactly. Now, you're talking houses.
Yeah, houses.
Now, so his question is, does the house stuff apply to land? Do you ever look at that, Jack?
No, that's a great question, Joe. What he's talking about is infill lots here, vacant lots in a neighborhood.
Right.
And the quality of data is the exact same for SFRs as it is here.
Okay, got it. So
if you try to
land
do this,
is land. Land
if you try to apply this to rural vacant land, it's not going to work.
Right. Okay, so that was a question. So rural vacant land is one thing. Infill lots, he's on the right track. Think of an infill lot like a house.
Think of an infill lot like a house.
Thank you.
It's priced the exact same way.
Thank you.
And the research is the same.
Thank you. Translations by Jill today.
Wow, we could have fun with this. What else could you translate?
Oh, my goodness.
It'd be fun for us to translate stuff
imagine?
For each other.
You talk.
That's what it takes.
That's true. You often, you go off on a tangent. And I, you know, this happens in all of our, most of our staff meetings.
What the hell is he talking about?
Where I see you and they're like, what? And I'm like, okay, don't worry about it, everybody. I'll help you. I know what this is. I know what he means. Yeah.
Jill speaks Klingon.
I do. I do. And I'm here to, I think that's why you have me on the show.
No, it's not. No, I think it's the other way around. I think I'm your guest.
Oh, thank you. Love it. Okay, cool. Got it.
So days on market is only to finish Joe's question here, because it really does lead into the topic. Days on market is one thing to look at, but there's a bunch of other things you need to look at that I look at right directly out of Redfin. The number of properties that are listed that month, and it's all broken down by zip code. How many properties went up for sale in that zip code, and how many properties got sold and closed out? And usually, I try to find markets that, or zip codes that more properties have been sold than got listed. And then they also give an inventory statistic. And so you want to look at inventory against the whole number of properties in that zip code. And you have to meld these two data sources to get that. So for instance, there might be 10,000 SFRs, or in your case, info lots in a given market, and maybe 150 of them sold that month. That's a very good percentage. You never want to have a tremendous amount of inventory in a market. You just want to skip to the next zip code. You see what I'm saying? Can you kind of get the picture here about why all the risk gets completely removed
exactly
from this? Really?
It really does. If you don't, you know what? This is my thing too. Why? So many people, I don't think they're taking advantage of all the tools and resources that are out there. And I'm like, why aren't you?
Because they're salespeople.
Well, no. I think it's they're afraid of spending a little bit of money. But I have to just come back and say, the money that you spend, well, I don't even think that. I think it's money, Jack. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't even get out of the gate because they're like, oh, I don't want to spend money on doing whatever. You know how much money you're going to save in the end by just investing in the right tools and cutting to the chase and doing it right? Seriously.
I just realized it just now that.
What?
You got buried in a little desk in the corner in the studio with equipment all over
the place. You noticed
it?
I'm under a light. I'm like, I didn't want to
I just
mess
realized
with your thing. So instead of me coming in and rearranging your setup, I just kind of found a little cubby.
You're such a trooper, Jill.
Thank you.
I don't say it enough.
Thank you. Yeah, I have the jagged edge in my rib here on the desk, but that's okay.
It's a tiny little spot.
It's all right. It works.
Like used equipment all over the place that's not functioning.
It's all good. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'm over here. Cord reaches. We're cool. I'm under the desk. You know, it's all good.
I wonder if OSHA rules apply to owners.
Yeah, right? I'm here to tell you they don't. Like workers' comp, owners don't have to have workers' comp.
I think we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay. It's all good.
So you have to take all these statistics, put them all together in a process that makes sense for you, and then choose where you want to send the letters, where you want to send offers. It makes so much sense to me to approach it this way versus the bandit signs or driving for dollars or putting up a website and driving traffic to it for people that want to sell their houses and they want to attract, fill out a form. Mm-hmm. This way, it just really cuts like 19 steps out of the process. Let the mail do the work for you.
Bingo.
Today's topic, census tract mailer pricing. It ties right in to what Joe's question was. This is the meat of the show. So census tract mailer pricing. I took the liberty of, for all 50 states, putting together a website that's free for anyone called CountyWise, CountyWise.com.
.com.
So if the front page of it is a picture of the country, you click on the state that you'd like, and then there pops up a map of all the counties in that state. And if you scroll down a little bit or click on the tabs on the top, it'll take you down to something called Census Tract. And it's a Census Tract map of all of that state. And if you click all the way down, imagine that you're just flying down, or you jump out of an airplane and you're going closer and closer and closer to the dot of the map. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, hello.
That might
you're getting
be the,
closer and faster to the ground. Where are you going with that?
Well, that might be the end result of this topic, too.
Yeah. Jeez. Is there a parachute somewhere?
If you're honing in on the actual census tract that you want to price. So in any given zip code, we'll use Scottsdale, Arizona, for example, like 85251, there's probably 40 or 50 census tracts.
Jack, what's a census tract?
A census tract is a block, or even in some cases, a half of a block, like a city block, that for whatever reason, the U.S. government says is this tiny little area of statistical data that is different than the census tract next to it. And turns out they're right.
Maybe like they were built, this whole phase was all built in 1950 and the rest of the homes were built in 1990?
Sure. It could be a master plan community driven. There's a lot of reasons and they change.
Okay.
But here's the beauty. Data Bright companies
control.
Like DataTree.
Yeah.
Data companies like DataTree and Redfin, they use census tract too. They use that statistical geographical area
in their pricing and their estimates
in all of that.
That's cool.
In their data,
right?
So you can identify all the statistics we were talking about earlier, days on market and everything else, by census tract and you can look at the data. And here's the net result of census tract pricing is this. We've all driven down a street or driven down, or probably live in one. Jill and I live in one for sure, where two blocks over, houses are six times more.
Yeah.
They cost six times more for whatever reason. In our case, it's because they're smack on the ocean or some attribute, or some of them may be right on the freeway, so those are less expensive. But for whatever reason, they're a different value. Mm-hmm. Census tract pricing, the way that we do it, smokes that out.
Right.
And so it really allows you to have the net effect is when you send out an offer campaign, it allows you to really accurately price it. And pricing's everything. You know, how many times have you sent a mailer campaign out, or I'm asking you, Jill, and the results come back, and some of them get signed, and some people say, some of the offers get signed, just how you buy the assets, and some people just blow their top.
It's hilarious.
And they say, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. My house is worth six times more than this.
It's hilarious.
So some of it, I take responsibility for. Some of it's just cuckoo people. But if anytime you can reduce your mailer costs, increase your yield, and buy more assets on a single mailer, the better off we're all going to be.
Yeah, so spend a little extra time and do this. Add this into your pricing strategy is the whole point.
Yeah.
Because it's going to save you in the end. Now, you don't want it. You don't want to weigh yourself down with, you know, days of nastiness phone calls. And like you said, Jack, which is true, some of them, they really are off their rocker. They heard someone that's, you know, someone who's done a 100% remodel,
yeah,
and added a extra income property on the back and a garage where there was nothing, and they think their home's, and their home, they're sitting with a two bedroom, one bath and a carport, and they think their home's worth the same.
Right.
Like, yeah, it doesn't always work that way. So, but you can't explain that. That's
right,
okay.
Right.
So, but then there's some that are legitimately, like you're saying, they really are different. Like, it's funny, just when you said like a strand house versus one on PCH, it might be, you know, four blocks, let's just say.
Right.
And the pricing is so very different.
Dramatic. We're in a dramatic situation.
Really different.
Like that.
Same zip code, yep. Same school district, everything's the same. So it might be the same house.
Yep.
Different dirt.
Different location, different attribute, yeah.
Yep.
One's got an ocean view and one's got a freeway view.
Yep.
And they're, in this case, in Jill's case, they're probably $2 to $3 million price different.
Exactly.
So, you know, census tract will smoke all of that out. If you look at the census tract lined up here in these little ocean communities, these beach communities,
right,
the government nailed it.
Exactly. And then here's the point, too.
Because
you don't want to send out, you don't want to say, I'm not going to bother with that. I'm just going to price it to the expensive properties. Well, that's great. Now you got all these people that their home's worth a third of what you just offered, and they're all signing the letters. I can't get them back to you fast enough. That's mm-hmm. going to waste your time figuring that out. Or then the opposite. I'm going to scale it all towards the cheapest ones. Well, then you're just going to have a mess there, too.
You're going to deal with a lot of hate.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that doesn't work, by the way, because
right,
that is actually how we price rural vacant land. We have members who take that, I call it the shotgun approach, where they just say, you know what, everything in 85250, we're going to send it out for $175 a foot. You still buy property.
It's like they're teaching to the dumbest kid, you know what I mean?
But you still, it still works. You get a lot more hate. There's a lot more stuff that goes on, but it still works.
Yeah. It's different. I don't know.
Here's what the hell does all this really mean to you? This is what it means. You send out a mailer, a 10,000 unit mailer, right? You spend $4,000 or $5,000 on postage, which maybe seems like a lot. If you do it properly, and you purchase a house for every 2,500 units, you purchase four houses. If your spread's correct, and you do take a national average, and you've marked it up $40,000 each, mm-hmm. you've now made $40,000 times four.
$160,000.
$160,000, and you spent about $5,000 on
yep.
mail.
I think that's okay.
So do I. But follow me on this. Let's say you do a census tract pricing, and your percentages even go higher.
Right.
Now when you add another for the same amount of money and a little
exactly.
bit more smarts on your part, mm-hmm. a little more education, let's just call a spade a spade.
Right.
You're just doing it the right way, and you've learned how to do it. You add one more asset to that exact same mailer.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost exponential, the return on investment.
Exactly.
It's not exponential, but your yield is way, way more efficient and mm-hmm. more effective. So That's why you're listening to all this malarkey.
Are you really, 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 really bored?
You know, that's, instead of 160 grand, now you're making $200,000.
Right.
$200,000 in net margin on a one single $4,000 to $5,000 mailer.
Exactly.
How hard is it?
I know.
It's worth learning. That's my point.
See, and this is a point too. This comes back to my, it's worth to spend a little money up front and do it right.
It's worth to getting the right education and then building off of that. And it's worth your time. Mm-hmm. I would defy anyone to say, you know, it's just not worth my time to learn how to use this data and learn how to use it from somebody who's done it right. Who's doing it.
Exactly.
You know,
Man.
There's a very small percentage of people, like, I don't know, let's say Bill Gates, who this probably is not a good use of his time.
Right. Could you imagine, like, what if you wanted to be, I know we use this example a lot, like, say you want to be a surgeon. No, you know what? I don't need to study under anybody else. I read the books. I got this. Could you imagine? I'm going to figure out my own techniques. No, please don't help me. Do you really want to go to that guy? No, I don't think so. I don't want that. Or even a mechanic. No, I got this. You know, I think I know what it sounds like. I don't really need to work with anybody and have an experience.
Jill and I have a relative who has come to us and said, you know, and he's a really good kid, but he's at that age where he's ready to go to college and he's prepping for stuff. He's prepping for his life. And he doesn't know enough yet, just because he's young. He's a super bright kid. Doesn't know exactly the right questions to ask. But the question you should be asking is, what's the best use of my time to prep for what I want, you know? And my question to him is, it is, what do you want? And like every single 18 or 19-year-old American male on the planet, he says, I want to be rich.
Exactly.
I say, this is how you do it.
Yep.
I'm not saying you shouldn't go to college. I'm not saying you should skip all that other stuff either. But I'm saying if you really want to efficiently create a really good living for yourself and get ahead of the curve and ahead of everybody else, this is a great way to spend 6 months of your life learning how to do something right to feed your family for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And probably generations after that.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm saying.
Amen. Seriously. No, it's beautiful. Thank you, Jack.
Well, you've done it again. Wasted another, I don't know, 17, 20 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss how lenders can kill closing timeframes. They really extended way too long.
And they kill other things too. Anyway, and answer your question should you have one. Post it on jackjill.com, the online community. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was good.
It was. I think so, too.
I think we answered some stuff. And you're right. The question that are led into it perfectly to kind of talk about the transition from vacant land to infill lots to houses. Mm-hmm. There are differences. There are nuances. There's different things to look at. But they all come back to, man, do your homework up front. Do it right, you know, and get the mail out.
Yeah.
You know, and we throw out these numbers. And some people, they seem big, but you know what? Realistically, they're not that big.
You know, when we started doing the show a couple of years ago, I couldn't get my head around the fact that some of this stuff is pretty brainy.
Yeah.
And that, who the hell's going to want to just listen to a brainy? But what ended up happening is that
we have brainy community.
Yes. It worked out great.
There are other brainy people out there.
And that's who we want. I mean, that's who our customers are.
Exactly.
They're like super sharp, smart people who aren't afraid of data and they want to make some dough.
Exactly. That's it.
It all ended up working actually well for everybody.
Exactly. You know? What would you describe it? Super smart, sharp people who aren't afraid of anything and want to make some dough?
I think that was it. That's a good paraphrase, yeah.
That's good. I love it.
I think the other common thing they have is that they're just sick and tired of putting up with the political crap at their job.
Oh, man. There's enough out there. I agree.
Man, that's a mess.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.